Let us then begin with our opening hymn, number 394. Service this evening begins on page 229. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Thank you. Our first reading for this, the celebration of the second Sunday after Epiphany, comes from the book of Isaiah, the 62nd chapter. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Here is the reading. The epistle lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one in speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Here is the reading. Please now stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 2nd chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Here ends the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated as we now continue with the sermon hymn. There it is. Number 408.
Thank you.
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It may disappoint some of you to find out, but there are no miracles in the entire Gospel of John. There's not one. There may be some of you out there that wonder exactly what I'm talking about, especially when looking at the Gospel reading for today, it seems to be a miracle. It's certainly something that is not natural, not naturally occurring. And usually when we fill water, when we fill jars with water, they don't normally turn into wine. And even if we fill the jars with grapes or grape juice, it takes quite a bit of time, a month, whenever I do it anyway, to make it turn into wine, so to speak. But you ask the right kind of questions. But in John, there are no miracles. There are signs. The word appears 17 times in this gospel. The word miracle doesn't appear at all. So what is John talking about? What's a sign? When we drive down the road, we see signs everywhere we go. We see signs on storefronts. We see great billboards on the interstate when we drive through. Signs are everywhere we look. And they always have a tendency to point towards something. All the signs we see in our lives point. They point to a store. They point to a gas station or a mall that maybe they think you should visit. Or maybe some signs even point to a church. If all goes well, the signs themselves will be memorable. But what it points to will ultimately be even more memorable. Today's text, as John says, is the first of Jesus' signs. And it all starts with a wedding. Jesus, his disciples, and his mother all travel to Cana to attend a wedding. And it's at this point that something that really, even by today's standards, would be considered an absolute catastrophe. They run out of wine. If I were to try to find an equivalent to today, it'd be like having a wedding reception and running out of food about halfway through. It would just stop you right in your tracks, fill you with anxiety. With all this, you can imagine the amount of anxiety and the worrying that's going on before Mary finally approaches Jesus to ask him to do something. Jesus doesn't act immediately, but eventually performs a sign, as John reports. Jesus has his servants take water from the water jars and has to take it to the master of the feast. When the master takes his drink, it is not the water that he tastes, but instead he tastes what Jesus has now turned into wine. We know from the text that Jesus made over 120 gallons of wine. Now that's a party. And what a sign that would be when you begin to think about it. But like we said before, signs always point. They direct us to something. And what's this sign pointing to? Some would say it's pointing to Jesus wanting us to have a good time. Others would talk about how it points to Christ as the one who has power from on high. Others would talk about how this points to a heavenly feast that is yet to come. It certainly points to something. It's certainly a sign. And don't you wish you could see a sign like that? Don't you wish you could see something? Don't you wish that you could just been there just to see or experience this one sign? It would be nice to have a sign like that in this day and age. Just imagine what one could do. Wine would just be the tip of the iceberg. We could have Jesus turn a river or something object into gold or something else. That would certainly prove his power. Not to mention, at the very least, to watch it occur would certainly help my faith. We could go on with all of this. We could think of limitless, endless possibilities and all the tons of good things that we could try to do from receiving a sign from Christ. We want that sign so much, especially to help our faith, so we say. But many of us pray for signs that ultimately are just something that would help us out. When we pray, we find ourselves looking for something. Many even come to church to try to find a way to pray correctly, you know, to make sure you have all the procedures correctly so God will give you what you ask for. Some might believe that there's even a special formula to doing this. making sure you do it just right. If we say the right prayer at the right time in the right way, the right tone of voice, then and only then, God will truly listen to you someday. We search for a way to get what we want out of God. We search for a sign, but we search for a sign that ultimately points to us. Reading what happened at the wedding at Cana, our minds may jump to this idea. The idea that the sign had a lot for those that were present. And it did. The sign got rid of some of the embarrassment that undoubtedly would have come to the people involved in the wedding. The sign also gave great wine to many that were there at the wedding feast. Such good wine that the master of the feast even exclaimed that they have saved the good wine for the last. Certainly did a lot for them that were there at the wedding. And so we think of all the great things that we could get from a sign like that. But as for Mary, we read that her prayer was answered through what Christ did. But notice what she did. Nothing. She made a request, and at Jesus' response, she persisted no more. Didn't try to weasel anything out of God. Trusted that God would provide and sent the servants to do whatever it is that Jesus told them to do. Sure, she brought what she wanted to God, but then she allowed God to answer in the way that he will. The sign occurred. Jesus turned this cleansing water into wine for a feast. He performed this event, what we might want to call a miracle, but John reminds us that it is a sign. A sign that Christ performed, a sign that points to his power as God, sure. It pointed to the mercy of God by helping those in their time of need. And with the wine, all 120 plus gallons of it, the people at the wedding received a foretaste of the feast that was to come, the feast that is to come. They received a very personal glimpse of what God is like and what the promises of God are like. The people there tasted the wine. However, more importantly, the people there knew that God cared for them, not only when they were at church or at synagogue, not only when they were praying, but everywhere that they were, even at a wedding celebration. The sign points to something, all right. We can say it points to the power of Christ's mission. We can say that it points to Christ's mercy. But looking at the big picture, we can see that the sign ultimately and always points toward God, a very personable, loving, and merciful God who promises a feast for us. In our own lives, we still, of course, look for signs. We look for things that point us in the right direction. However, oftentimes, even in our prayers, we want to determine what that direction is. We want to control the sign. We want money and riches, at least many of us do. We want things to go our way, or maybe we just want things to not go wrong for a change. We want a sign. But the harder we look, the more distant they seem to be. What we are doing, though, is looking past the very signs that are ultimately around us. Christ truly did change water into wine at the wedding in Cana so long ago. Christ, through the Word of God, truly changes bread and wine to where Christ's true body and blood are in with and under. We look so hard to find the signs that are around us, hoping that they will point where we want them. But let us not miss where the signs actually are. We can sometimes overlook the fact that God comes even to the little children through his word and a little bit of water. We miss the holy sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We can sometimes miss how it, just like the wedding, is a foretaste of the glorious feast that is to come. At the wedding they had wine. We read that it was exceptional wine, but wine all the same. But yet this coming Sunday, when you come to the Lord's table, you will also receive wine. But unlike the wedding so long ago, you will not receive wine alone. If you will receive Christ's true body and blood, you will receive the true forgiveness of sins. Truly, this is a sign that shows the power of God, a sign that points to his mercy, a sign that points to God, our Heavenly Father, and shows us that we are loved. And with that sign, and all the signs that are ultimately around us, we pray to God, our Father, but not as one seeking a sign. Instead, we pray as one giving thanks,
for all that God has done for us. Amen.
And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now stand as we confess our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed that is found on the inside back cover of your hymnals. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our service continues on page 233.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.